guardian.co.uk.
This podcast is sponsored by audible.co.uk, the number one online destination for digital audiobooks.
The Guardian Books Podcast with Claire Armistead.
All of it proves, though, what we know, namely that books matter and that investing in the arts matters now as much, if not more, than it ever did. The founding principles of the prize, of course, remain the same. To celebrate novels of excellence, originality and accessibility written by women from all over the world, and to put outstanding books into the hands of readers who will treasure them. Bailey's ambition, their desire to celebrate women's creative achievements and have fun while doing it, made them the ideal partner, and we're looking forward to working with them to build new audiences and to continue to celebrate outstanding fiction by women. It's my absolute pleasure to be here tonight as chair of the 2013 judging panel to announce the winner of this year's Women's Prize for Fiction. We'd like to celebrate all of these women and their achievements. So would you please join me now in welcoming to the stage the six shortlisted authors of this year's Women's Prize for Fiction. Final speech. To all of the women on the shortlist, you are awesome. Thank you for your inspirational works. I wish there were six checks to hand out. However, there can only be one winner, and tonight we have chosen the book which, in the opinion of the judges, most ably fulfills the criteria of this award: originality, accessibility, and excellence. The winner of the Women's Prize for Fiction 2013 is, may we be forgiven,
I do have a few thank yous because this is the first actual book award I've won. It's a 10th book, so it's a little bit long. But I would love to thank all of the judges and everyone who's worked on this prize. It's a prize that since it began, and I've been doing this for a while, I've always been in awe of, and I always dreamed that one day maybe I would win. The first two people I actually want to thank can't be with us tonight. My dad, who passed away about a month ago, knew I was on the short list, so that just means the world. And my grandmother, who loaned me money to buy a typewriter when I was a kid, and she made me pay her back. So thank you very, very much, and it's just such a treat and means a lot to me.
My name's Barbara Band. I'm the Vice President of the Chartered Institute of Library and Information Professionals. I'm thrilled that it's won. I thought it was a fantastic book. It's a book of our times. It made me laugh, it made me cry. A very worthy winner.
I'm Susie Orbach. It was the best list I've ever encountered. Every book was such a joy, and what a fantastic winner. How great for A.M. Holmes to get this kind of recognition in the UK, and hopefully the work will spread all over the world because it's a wonderfully funny, dark, brilliant book.
I'm Natasha Walter, I'm one of the judges, and it was an amazing year. We had, as people said, an absolutely staggering shortlist, so the choice of winner was, it was genuinely difficult. It was a long discussion, it was quite an arduous evening. This book really struck all the judges, partly because of just the pure quality of its writing. It has this incredible energy. At times it's very vicious and very bleak, but it also has this warmth that comes through at the ending. And I'm still pondering on the discussions we had about this book, because it is very rich and people found different things in the ending. So some of us found it a more straight redemption, others found the ending more open-ended and ambiguous. So I think it is one of those books that speaks to people in different ways and really is something that begins conversations and begins thoughts. It's a very interesting book as well, I think, for a woman writer. I mean, sort of hate to put it in a way in that way, but it has a male narrator and it has this huge ambition. And obviously the writer that people are comparing it to a lot is Don DeLillo, and there are some explicit references to Don DeLillo in the novel, and it has this huge sort of power.
The Woman's Prize has always given good party, and good to see that tradition continuing now that the future is no longer orange, but, well, beige. Though Baileys won't be the official sponsor until next year, I'd imagine there were quite a few Irish cream hangovers this morning. But in the end, it's all about the winner, A.M. Holmes, May We Be Forgiven. With me in the studio to discuss it are arts correspondent Mark Brown and The Observer's Robert McCrum. Mark, is it a good winner?
It's a great winner. I was so pleased it won. I really enjoyed the book. It was kind of one of the funniest, most insane books I think I've read.
Funniest, insane. It's quite sort of nasty in parts, isn't it?
Completely. And you find yourself laughing at murder, kidnap, internet sex. You kind of read it with your mouth open for about 500 pages. I mean, there was one hilarious scene set in a sort of clothing optional swingers party at a Laser Quest centre.
Goodness me. One of the things that's said about her is that she writes like a man. And that was, a lot of people were saying that last night, and I don't quite understand what that means.
Well, I don't know. Every review you read, it says A.M. Holmes, she follows in the footsteps of people like John Cheever and Philip Roth and John Irving. I don't know how true that is.
That's subject matter, I think. Also the fact she's A.M. Holmes. She's gay, and so there's a coded reference to her being gay. And I think her subject matter, her previous, if you look at her track record, her previous books, they're tough subjects, and she writes about them in a tough, and as Mark says, a fairly taking no prisoners style.
Robert, it was an amazing shortlist this year, wasn't it?
It was.
It was Hilary Mantel, Zadie Smith, Maria Semple, Kate Atkinson, and
two previous winners, that's to say, I think that's Kate and Zadie. They were previously shortlisted writers. I mean, what they did was they kind of decided that they would tide over the interregnum between Orange and the new sponsor, Baileys, by having a really strong list. And I'm sure that was a strategy. I mean, those people are very canny. And people like Kate Moss and Joanna Trollope, these are very well-organised people. And I think they just decided to have a very strong list as a way of generated tremendous media interest, and as it happened, of course, they got the sponsor in place and all was well. But so it was, as you said at the beginning, it was a terrific party, and a party at which Baileys, in my experience, was being served with vodka.
Oh my goodness me, that's even worse. It feels a bit like the end of Empire, doesn't it? There's finally nothing left for Hilary Mantel to win.
It was a strange atmosphere. There was quite a strong vibe. I picked up quite a strong vibe from various people who were there, who I talked to as a journalist, who were pretty anti-Hilary.
Why?
I think they felt she'd won enough prizes and it was time for someone else to have a chance. And also there was a sort of ongoing thing about, you know, how good is Hilary Mantel, which is a question which is bound to be asked now.
I was joking with her agent about what on earth her acceptance speech would have been. She must have been working on it for days, worrying about what she could do to cap her last one, which, as people may remember, was, I don't feel bad about this.
I don't think she feels bad about anything.
Anyway, there is another side to this particular story, which was the other big talking point last night, and it involves A.M. Holmes' publisher, Granter, as I discovered from another member of the throng of literati in the hall last night.
I'm Linda Grant, I'm a former winner of the Orange Prize. It's an extraordinary thing that A.M. Holmes has won tonight, second time that Granter has won, and also the second time that Granter has been in crisis when it won. When I won, my editor had departed, and the company was in a state of disarray. And one of the things that I really hope is that they're able to distribute this book and get it into the bookshops. Because a company which is in this level of crisis, it's going to be a problem.
And what is the crisis for people who don't know about it?
Most of the management team have gone one way or another in different circumstances. So the company, you know, is denuded. I assume that her editor is no longer there. It's a publishing company which is rebuilding itself from scratch.
And what is the importance of Granter? In some ways, you could say it's just one another publisher. It's a commercial outfit. Should we care?
I mean, Granter has published incredible, incredible books over the years, and it's an imprint which I think has always taken care of its authors, not in a kind of financial sense. But rather in the sense that you feel that you've been selected. You feel that you've been bought by Granter because somebody wants you. And that you're part of this sort of, you know, this world of literary fiction, which is really, really valuable. And it's a really important imprint.
Philip Gwynne-Jones, executive publisher, Granter Publications.
As was?
At the moment and perhaps in the future. Who knows? Once in future.
So why is this a good winner?
Above all, she deserves it for a career that now spans, what, 25, 30 years of extraordinarily ambitious, unorthodox, brave, sometimes controversial, very often controversial fiction, for which she has never, as she said in her rather lovely speech, without being, I think, in any way boastful or resentful, won a prize. And that alone is worth celebrating, I think.
One of the former winners, Linda Grant, was talking a minute ago about, she also was with Granter when she won the Orange Prize, and she was saying that she won it at a time of crisis, and what she was worried about is that this book will be distributed with the team disintegrating in the way that it just has.
No, I think that's overly alarmist. There are many, many, many professional people still at the building, including me for another month or so, and we will be absolutely sure to make sure that nothing but professionalism takes place and that the book reaches all the readers that it's going to reach now, thank God, in the coming months and probably years.
Must be quite poignant for Granter for this to happen now.
There's poetry about it, yes.
Philip Gwynne-Jones being admirably diplomatic there. For those of you who are new to this story, pretty much the whole editorial staff on both the magazine and the publishing sides have left in the last few weeks, which means that both will henceforth be run by their owner, Sigrid Rousing, multi-millionaire philanthropist who is known as the Tetra Pak heiress. Robert, what's your reading of this?
It's a classic case of the proprietor of a publishing house, or indeed a newspaper, getting interested in the process. And the writing in this case has been on the wall for quite a long time. She fired Alex Clark, the previous editor of Granter, about a year and a half ago. And so she's clearly somebody who's been wanting to get her hands on both the magazine and also to make sense of the publishing operation. There's a problem with the publishing operation. They've got Portobello and Granter. So they have two imprints, which is one too many. They've got a problem with the magazine, which is that it's a print magazine in the age of the internet. And there are various things that they have to address. And I think she just became impatient. And proprietors do this. You know, she became impatient and she thought, well, I can do this as well as anybody else. I'm the owner. I'll just do it. And she had a kind of hissy fit.
Do you think she will be able to keep it running?
No, I don't. Well, I think she'll have to get some professionals in. I mean, the trick with the proprietorship is to step back, I think, and to appoint good deputies, to delegate properly with good people. Actually, she had a very good team there. I think it's a real shame. I feel very sorry for A.M. Holmes. I feel sorry for Rupert Thompson, who moved there recently, Robert McFarlane. There's a whole range of writers who are there, who are now, you know, sort of semi-adrift. I actually think that these organisations, that they just carry on, you know, and that the distribution, the prize will generate its own interest, the book trade the only thing that you have to watch out for is reprints, and I'm sure they'll be smart enough to, I mean, there's a very good sales director there called Bridget McLeod, who's still there, and I think she's very experienced, she will know what to do, and you just press the button at the right time and everything will be fine.
Mark, does it matter if a publisher like Granter goes down?
Oh, I think so. I mean, that would be a huge loss, but I don't think it is it? I mean, she would have to screw things up, you know, massively for it to go down. Will it happen?
There's a list of authors, there are books coming out, and she in the short term, Sigrid, that is, will want in the short term to make it work. She'll soon discover that this is one of the worst climates in publishing for a very long time, and that it's the people that she's got rid of or who have left were doing a pretty good job in a very tough situation. I don't think there's no magic bullet here.
That speaks a former publisher. Well, Sigrid was nowhere to be seen at the party, but Holmes's editor Sarah Holloway was there along with Philip and various other people from Granter. So let's raise a glass at the end of this special extra podcast to them, along with their very deserving winner, A.M. Holmes. Tomorrow we'll be back talking thrillers and horror in our regular show. But for now, from Mark Brown, Robert McCrum, producer Tim Mabey, and me, Claire Armistead, goodbye.
Visit audible.co.uk/Guardian Audio to choose from a selection of over 60,000 titles. With Audible, you can make more time for books by downloading and listening wherever you are and whatever you're doing. For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk
/audio.